Welcome to this episode of the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Paula Barnard-Ashton, and each week we have a guest in studio with us to share their ideas and experiences of blended learning. This episode will focus on the student perspective and what it's been like studying a health professions degree over the last few years. We have with us today Jenna Hammond, who is a fourth year occupational therapy student. So Jenna, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Doc.
So Jenna, thank you for taking some time out of your fourth year clinical prac. I know it's a hectic time, but Jenna interestingly started her degree in 2020. So she had, 3 weeks on campus?
Exactly 3 weeks, yeah.
And then straight into lockdown as a first year. So quick transition into emergency remote online.
Yeah.
Very hectic.
It was very hectic. Yeah, Doc, it was probably one of the hardest years of my life. It was very, but you know what, the OT department really had it under control, which I was very thankful for, because as a first year, I had no idea what I was doing.
So Jenna, you mentioned that it was one of the most challenging, difficult years of your life. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why it was challenging and what you did to cope?
Oh, wow. Yeah, 2020 was very, very difficult for me. And I never did physics in high school.
Oh, wow. So it's a big transition.
It was very difficult for me to now suddenly start with, you know, university physics. And there was no platform for me to actually engage with any of the lecturers and ask them questions. And I was working like a dog, trying very hard to understand concepts that I had never even heard about before. Yeah, and the lecturers just kind of, so they sent out notes that I had to kind of self-study, and there were things that, you know, words and things that I didn't even understand, so it was going completely over my head. I felt so stupid. That was really, really hard, not being able to, and I would, you know, email lecturers, but obviously their inbox is so full that they'd never get back to me. Mm-hmm. So eventually I went to the CCDU to try and speak to a psychologist, because I really felt like I was treading in water and nothing was getting better. I felt like I was very incompetent. And I spoke to the psychologist online. It was a student psychologist, and it seemed like a lot of people were really struggling. You know, we had a lot of people pass away in 2020. Mm-hmm. That was another problem. And the psychologist told me to drop out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She couldn't see how... I went to her asking for coping mechanisms, ways that I could maybe just try and deal with all of this, and she couldn't really give me anything. So yeah, she just she thought that it was going to be way too difficult for me to do any kind of BSc subject, and she asked me to drop out.
Consider changing.
Yeah, but actually, it motivated me to pass the year and to
prove her wrong.
Exactly. So. In the end, it did work out, but it was a very difficult year.
I think the transition into university life is already a transition. And so, yes, the pandemic created a whole another brand. But as you mentioned when we had our conversations before, you don't know anything other than blended learning, really.
Yeah, not really.
So I think you transitioned from high school and then went into a university environment that was completely out of whack, but as you said, the OT department was relatively prepared. I mean, we had Moodle up and running for a decade before that, so I think the lecturers were relatively experienced. But we've had 4 years of this change from purely online into a bit of back and forwards on campus, off campus, different types of exams, different exposure to clinicals. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your journey and how technology has allowed you to be able to still connect with your degree?
Oh, well, it was, I mean, in the beginning it was very difficult for me, because at my school, St. Teresa's, we had a very strict, like, no phones, no technology kind of policy. So, I mean, we were learning with smart boards and things like that, but for us, the students, we didn't really, you know, besides Microsoft Word, we didn't really work with any kind of online platforms or anything like that. So it was very different for me at the beginning in first year to have, you know, so we had these classes like in person, which was great, and then our online tasks, and I really enjoyed it, you know, getting to kind of learn a little bit differently. Okay. I felt it also gave me a little bit more freedom to kind of like learn on different platforms, kind of experience with what I found worked a little bit best for me.
Okay.
But during the lockdown, that was where things became a little bit tumultuous. Oh, wow. So the OT department, they really had it under control. I was very, very grateful for that. I think one of our biggest challenges was probably just the load shedding. So obviously to try and combat that, instead of having Teams meetings, they transferred everything to pre-recorded meetings. And I hated pre-recorded meetings. I really enjoy engaging with content and engaging with my lecturers. So because we had to learn from pre-recorded, not great.
It was an emergency response.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I mean, I think since that first year, and as you moved through the degree, the nature of blended learning has also shifted a bit.
Completely shifted, yeah.
So where do you see it now?
What is your experience? Now it's kind of perfect. Because, the one thing I really enjoy about blended learning, and I think that the one thing that really helps students engage with the content online, is if we have like online tasks to do after engaging with, you know, some of the online like lectures, or for example, our vocational practical session was actually done online this year.
Okay.
Because our blocks are a little bit different. You know, some people are in Limpopo, some people in Joburg, some people are like Eastern Cape, depending on what block they're in at the moment. And engaging with the content and actually having like a task to do afterwards, that was really nice. And then kind of during our task on Moodle, we had a conversation on Teams with the vocational lecturer to ask questions and kind of get our feedback of like how we felt. And that was great. That was really, really lovely. I just really enjoy like engagement. Even if it's online or in person, it's not such a problem. I'm kind of like a kinesthetic learner a little bit. So I really, yeah, that's kind of the best for me.
I mean, I think that's one of the things, is to bring the action side into blended learning.
Yes.
And the student participating actively. Mm. So that discussion, I mean, the nice thing about the discussion is that towards the end of the year when you're prepping for exams, you can go back and look at what that discussion
yes,
had.
Yes, exactly, because we recorded it. You know, so that was so great. That was also something that really helped me with like our load shedding schedule. You know, if I had load shedding but they had to, you know, kind of schedule in a discussion, then I could at least listen to other students. Or, for example, when I was trying to study for physiology, if they recorded the discussions, if I was part of those discussions, I would always ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen to the lecturer, you know, explain a concept to me that I didn't really understand. That was really helpful, just to go back to those classes.
Yeah.
So I've really, and I think this year the blended learning has helped me probably the most.
Okay.
I'm a dual citizen. I'm a South African Norwegian.
Okay.
Yeah. And to maintain my citizenship in Norway, I had to be there for a certain amount of months. So at the beginning of last year, I organized with my lecturers for me to be online at the beginning of this year. So they would bring me in on Teams and send tasks to me through Moodle whilst the other students were, you know, in person. But I could still join like discussions with all of them. I was still in groups. We were doing PBLs. It was great. I felt very part of it.
I mean, I think that's an amazing outcome. Is
yes,
that
absolutely.
More flexibility. Mm. I remember when I was studying, I'm an occupational therapist as well.
Yes,
but during my undergrad degree, we had a South African sports person in our class, and she had to go overseas for periods of time. Mm. And I mean, it took her a lot longer to finish her degree because she was missing critical components of the degree outcomes.
Mm.
Whereas now, the opportunities are different. You can kind of maintain your citizenship. They can maintain their sports profile, but still actually complete the degree in a relatively well-accommodated time period.
Yes, 100%.
And so now tell me a little bit about your classes experience. You know, I think in first year, you were together and then all of a sudden not together. And studying together and group work and things like that. What are some of the shared experiences around?
Well, we kind of all have like little differences in experience. I mean, I think one thing that was very hard for all of us in 2020 was actually just getting to know one another. Because we were only on campus for about 3 weeks and then, you know, we were all home. So we didn't really get the opportunity to, you know, meet everyone in our class
and like
exactly to and then our PBL experience, you know, we had one PBL kind of in person and then everything was moved online. So for those that don't know, PBL is problem-based learning, where we work in groups to kind of solve problems based on patient cases that they give us. So I think that we kind of ended up just meeting each other through PBL, and we were quite grateful for that. But it was also, I think some people did use the fact that we were online as an excuse not to participate. You know, I'm very proactive, so I ended up feeling like I was taking a brunt of the
load of the responsibility.
So, you know, some students, they really struggled with online content. Like if lecturers weren't there watching them kind of participate, they didn't get that kind of intrinsic motivation to be able to engage with the content online. And then we had people who were very shy, and even engaging, you know, if you're in a group in person, you kind of have to put something to the table. But if you're online, nobody can see like who you are, what you're doing. So it's a lot easier to take a step back from really engaging with that content and, you know, putting forth your own ideas with regards to the problem.
Brainstorming phase of PBL needs input. Everybody's
going to
give their ideas. But did you form like study groups? Did you have a WhatsApp channel? What were the tactics that you used as a class that weren't necessarily what the lecturers had planned?
Definitely WhatsApp groups. Oh my word. And then what we would do is, because we were sent all of the work online, we would like cut and then paste like different sections of the work. So we would split it up so that everyone would have like, instead of discussing it all together, we would kind of like do like this, like a separate little section on our own so that the work would go quicker. But then I was always the person who was like, okay, let's all discuss it together now. But some people were like, we're done.
Yeah, I've done my section. So
yeah, exactly.
I might be missing 45% of the content, but I've done my section.
Yeah, so that was definitely one of our little tactics. Mm-hmm. When it came to the online stuff, if nobody was coming to check that we were actually discussing anything, and then we would try and do, well, the lecturers would try and come into our chat room online on Teams. But then that was a problem because a lot of students didn't have service with the load shedding. So then we moved everything onto big blue button, and then that didn't work. So there were a few little potholes.
The technical sides.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the learning journey was very rapid from how the tech advanced in that time as well. You know, I mean, Teams, for example, didn't have breakout rooms at the start of COVID.
Yes, exactly.
And had breakout rooms by three months later. So I think tech advancements were quite rapid.
Oh, very rapid, yes. Yeah.
So tell me a bit about the E-Zone, because obviously that's my passion. what has the E-Zone been like for you? And you can be totally honest. In terms of your learning?
Well, for me, I haven't actually had that much of an experience with the E-Zone. Probably some of the only times I've really used the E-Zone is for discussions. Like if we came in for, you know, PBLs, and sometimes we would even use the space for study purposes, which was really great. Because it's such a flexible space, you know, you can kind of engage everyone's sort of study styles, which was really nice. So I was like writing things on the giant whiteboards and, you know, drawing a whole skeleton for anatomy. Whereas like other people were, so I would pretend to kind of like teach people and they would record me so that they could listen to it back, you know, like more of our auditory learners, like other people could find a quiet corner and then they could, you know, sit and write down some of the stuff that we were discussing. So it's a really nice, flexible space that kind of allows us to sort of experiment with everyone's different sort of learning styles, which is really nice.
Okay.
So yeah, in my limited experience, that's kind of what it's been like.
Yes, I mean, I think that the active classes have only really started in the E-Zone again this year.
Yes.
and you're on clinicals. So.
Yeah.
So I think kind of as our wrap up, what is like your most wow experience? I mean, you mentioned the VOC activities, but what is your most wow experience related to blended learning for your whole 4 years? I'm not talking about
just oh wow, that is a very difficult question because there are quite a few wow experiences. I think like I really enjoyed, you know, I was very nervous that I wasn't going to get like the quality of learning that I would have if I was in person, and I think one thing that was really awesome for me was the ability to really engage with content over Moodle, and then also to watch other lecturers on Teams explain certain things like physically, or send us videos so that we could actually see, you know, how to assess SCOM and things like that.
Mm.
I was really, really worried that I wouldn't have just the right kind of practical teaching.
Mm.
And honestly, I'm really fine because if you take the problem-based learning experience and then the blended learning experience and you kind of mush them together, it's really taught me a lot, and it's made me a lot, and I've always been very proactive, but even more so with my learning. So I really didn't find it like that much of a struggle if you do kind of embrace it. Another huge big wow experience was also watching lecturers work with other kids.
Yeah.
Like getting that experience, like over an online platform, and actually being able to see, you know, a practical setting, even though we were in the heart of the pandemic, that was beautiful. And that was wonderful that I got that experience. Also over when I was in Norway. Yeah, that was a big wow experience that I was able to get the same learning experience that the rest of my peers were. We even had a quadriplegic come in and speak to everybody. And, you know, I wasn't there. I was in a completely different country.
Continent.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, somebody had a cell phone and I could see how his car was modified, and I could talk to him. I could ask him questions. And yeah, that was amazing. That was really wonderful that I got that opportunity because of blended learning.
So I think the last thing is, what would you advise the lecturers in OT or in any of the courses that you've covered in your journey as an OT student, what is a take-home message for a student, for a lecturer? What would you want them to know from a student perspective?
I think that they should definitely embrace blended learning, but also I think, like, you know, make sure to add in content that allows the student to actually engage with what they're learning. If it's like a little task or, you know, videos, quiz. And then a little quiz, something like that. Because honestly, if I got pre-recorded lectures and it was just somebody droning for 45 minutes, I would completely zone out.
Mm.
Unless there was something, you know, for me afterwards that I would engage with, and then I could go back and listen and, you know, start taking notes. Like, it really, I would say it kind of forces the students to really engage, but it's great for learning. It's really wonderful, and it helps us become more active rather than passive learners.
Absolutely. And I think it also gives you insight into how you're doing. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You do this quiz, did I get it right? Didn't I get it right?
And I love
that. I've got to go back and check this out again.
Yeah. 100%.
So thank you so much, Jenna, for joining us this afternoon. I've learned a lot. I've had a wow moment with your experience with being able to go and make sure that your citizenship is intact in both countries. And we really appreciate you taking the time this afternoon to join us.
Yeah, and thank you so much for inviting me. This has been a real privilege.
So that was the student experience on the Blended Beat Coffee Grab podcast. And we look forward to you listening in again next week.